Today's daf is Kuf Yud. We're going to start at the bottom of Kuf Tet Amud Bet. Today's daf for today. Right. What we're doing today is Kuf Yud. We're still a day ahead. Okay. I wanted to just show you in the Tanakh, if you look in the Tanakh, in the story of Pesal Micha, at the end of Sefer Shoftim, you'll see that when they quote, at the end, when they call him Yonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe, this Nar, you know, Levi, it was from Yehuda, we don't know whether it was Shevet Levi or Yehuda. So it says, ben Gershom ben Menashe, I'm going to pass it around. If you look at the Nun is raised above, you know, as like an indicator that there's some sort of mistake here, that it's not necessarily Menashe, but Moshe. Right? Obviously, it's clear that the Menashe-Moshe connection is just because Menashe is the same letters as Moshe, except for the Nun. That's the play that we ended with yesterday about because he did like Menashe and he was a bad guy, so therefore they connected him more to Menashe rather than Moshe. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar, we're six lines from the bottom. Lo'olam yidbak adam betovim. Okay, you should always try to stick with good people. Okay, this is like oy l'rasha, oy l'shechino, that kind of thing, and tov l'tzadik, tov l'shechino. So lo'olam yidbak adam betovim, sharei Moshe nasa idbak Yitro, yatsa mimenu Yonatan. Look what happened to Moshe. He married Yitro's daughter, which is considered a rasha, or, you know, not a Jewish. Okay, so there's obviously positive things said about Yitro and etc. However, he was marrying a non-Jewish woman and, you know, it wasn't exactly...
It wasn't good blood.
Right, it wasn't good blood, okay? So it's not saying they were Rishaim, but it says, you know, if you stick with the Tovim, the Miyuchasim, so to speak...
It's interesting, you can never shake your past.
By the way,
true, but...
right, and also, like with everything, we see there's versions of, you know, there's always different versions. So I'm sure some people look at Yitro in a high... And other people looked at him, you know, he was a Kohen, Lavodah Zarah, basically. Yeah. So, okay. So he married Bat Yitro, and look what happened to him. Yatsa mimenu Yonatan. Aharon nasa Bat Aminadav, yatsa mimenu Pinchas. Look at Aharon, right? He married the daughter of Aminadav, okay, who was the father of Nachshon. We don't really know Aminadav so much, from what I remember, but he was the father of Nachshon. He must have been good. Yatsa mimenu Pinchas, and look at what happened to him. So now they say, wait a minute. So Moshe, we have on one hand marrying Bat Yitro, and look what happened to him, right? His tzatzaim became this Yonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe, who was the Kohen for Pesal Micha. Then we have on the other side Aharon, who married the daughter of Aminadav, and he became, right, her name was Elisheva, and he, look, Pinchas came from him. So now they say, wait a minute. Upinchas lav mi Yitro ate, v'hakti ve'elazar ben Aharon lakach lo mi benot puti el lo li'isha. Now, he married from the Benot Putiel, Elazar. Now, Elazar, right, that from there came Pinchas. So didn't Pinchas come from Putiel? Now, who's Putiel? My lav da'ati mi Yitro, shepitem agalim lavodah zarah. Okay, he fattened up agalim for avodah zarah and Putiel, right, from Lashon Lifatem. And therefore, he also came from Yitro. So why are you saying, you know, he came from, right? He also married Yitro. Yitro's tzetzayim. So now they say no. Lo da'ati mi Yosef, shepitpeit bi Yitro. No, it actually is connecting him back to Yosef. Okay, he took someone who was from Yosef. He also married Potiphera. I'm sure they're connecting also the peitet there. Shepitpeit bi Yitro, that he basically struggled with his Yitro, but overcame it. V'halo shfatim mevazim oto v'omrim, ra'item et ben putizet, ben shepitem avi imo agalim lavodah zarah, yaharog nasi shevet miYisrael. But wait a minute. You want to say it came from Yosef and it's pitpeit. But they told Pinchas and they said to Pinchas, hey, don't you know that this is the son of the father, you know, in other words, he's killing Cosby and Zimri, right, who basically are doing... inappropriate things, erva, but he himself comes from bad blood. What's he doing getting involved here, right? You can imagine also the whole thing, right? Kanaim pogimbo, and there's a whole sugya, we'll get to it, about how you're allowed to do this kind of thing. But it's not the most common thing for someone to just take the law into their own hands. And you can see that everyone was getting all worked up. Who's this guy who has a bad background anyway? What's he doing killing a nasi, Mishavit Yisrael, right? He was a nasi. So, Ella, so now we struggle. What do you mean? How can you say it was from Yosef? And how can you say it was from from Yitro. What was it? Ella ihavua diime mi Yosef, ima diime mi Yitro. His father's mother was Yosef, from Yosef, and the mother's mother. The mother's mother. In other words, the one that came from Yosef was the mother's father, right. But the mother's mother was from Yitro. Okay, so she came. Putiel is both from Yosef and both from.
This is mother's father from Yitro and mother's mother from Yosef.
Avuha deime mi Yosef, ima deime mi Yitro. Right.
I'm skipped on.
Okay, so now they say. Iabua deime mi Yitro, ima deime mi Yosef. Right, so now, I didn't read the whole sentence. It's Ella, Iabua deime mi Yosef, ima deime mi Yitro, Iabua deime mi Yitro, ima deime mi Yosef. In other words, it's either or. We don't know who's who, but it means basically it could be flipped. Okay, that's the idea. So now they say, Daikanami, Dechti, we can even prove this, because what does it say? Mi benot Putiel. So it's from the daughters of Putiel, Tarte, which sounds like plural. So, right, the benot are Tarte. So now what do they say? Shma Mina. So it must be that he came both from Yitro and both from Yosef. Now we have a bit of an issue that's not resolved here, which is, if they were trying to badmouth Moshe and say, you married someone from Yitro and look what came out of you, and look at Aharon, that his Tzatzaim married Bat Aminadav, and look, Pinchas came from him, right? And there was no bad genes there. But now, all of a sudden, it turns out there were some bad genes. So it's a little bit tricky what exactly is going on here. However, they try to give it answers. They're not so great, because at the end, you could say maybe he's only half, right? It's not as bad as, you know, full, like it's only one side. You know, it's not as direct. That's not a great answer. But there's also that Moshe himself did it, which is worse than here. It's Pinchas is, in other words, if you want to badmouth Pinchas, so, or Aharon, it wasn't Aharon, it was his Tzatzaim, it wasn't him himself, and it wasn't Pinchas himself either, right? So the characters that we're discussing weren't directly involved, but it's a bit of a weakness. Okay, Amar Rava, Hanoseisha, Tzarich Shivdok Ba'acheha. Okay, now we're going to get this obviously from Aharon. Okay, you have to check out the brothers, okay? Here, if you want to marry off your children, you should definitely check out their, right, the brothers of the spouse. Okay, of the fiance or whatever, you know, the when they're dating. Shenemar v'yikach Aharon et Elisheva bat Aminadav achot Nachshon. They call her achot Nachshon. Okay, why did they call her achot Nachshon? Because the point is that Aharon must have checked out, you know, the Nachshon. Mimash m'shenemar bat Aminadav eini yodeh she'achot Nachshoni. Right, once they say bat Aminadav, it's totally unnecessary to say achot Nachshon. Now the question is, why do you have to check out the brother? Okay, Tana, rov banim domim la'acheha em. Okay, your children are like your maternal uncles. Okay, and because of that, there was this concept that children end up being like the brothers of the mother. I was trying to think of a reason why this would be. It could be because the idea was that the mother was basically doing the child rearing, and maybe, you know, if she's doing the child rearing, she's going to rear her children the way her brothers are, you know, which she's used to in her house. I mean, there's all these, you know, people end up marrying people that look like their sisters or brothers. You know, there's a lot, it happens, things like this. So I guess they're trying to say, so I'm not sure exactly what they're trying to say about this, but in any case, it's one of these etzot tovot they're giving you, which is check out the brothers. Okay. Vayasuru. Okay. This is back to, okay, we're going back to Micha. What the Gemara is doing here, by the way, is a very modern type, something that goes on now with much more, it's much more done now in our times in terms of biblical analysis, where we look at words that appear in one place and they appear somewhere else, and it's clear, we're going to see in Pesel Micha, there's a pasuk which clearly reminds us of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they're trying to connect, and what they do is they make a literary connection, which is not as commonly done then, very commonly done now, the literary analysis, and they basically say there's something going on here deeper. So what happens? In the Pesel Micha story, you can read it inside, it goes on to discuss, you know, Micha brings this Naomi Beit Levi. First he creates an ephod and a pesel and a whole thing, and then he gets this money and he spends it and he does this, and then he realizes first his children were working there, and then he realizes meets this Beit Levi guy, the guy from Levi, and he brings them to work for him. Then these miraglim come and they end up with this na'ar, and then basically they sleep at the na'ar's house. And when they get there, okay, the story continues, and then they basically do a whole attack, and they steal the ephod and all that stuff, and they steal the kid Mibet Levi to come with them, and they convince him to go work for them, and then they basically take over, and this is the pasuk we saw at the end, that he ends up, his sons become the Levi there, you know, the Kohen there, working there for the rest of, you know, until the Galut. So when they sleep in his house, what do they say to him? It says, I'll read the whole pasuk, the half pasuk, right? Hema in Beit Micha, vehema yikiru et hanara Levi. So they're living, they're not in the Levi's house, they're in Micha's house. And then all of a sudden they recognize this Beit Levi guy, this na'ar. Vayasuru sham, so they go and they say, vayomer lo, mi haviyacha halom, uma atao sebeze, uma lechapo. They start saying to him, what are you doing here, right? But they don't just say, what are you doing here? They say it as, mi haviyacha halom, who brought you here? Uma atao sebeze, right? And what are you doing here, right? It seems very repetitive. Uma lechapo, what are you doing here? So, what's the drasha here? What's the connection to Moshe? So, Amru lo, lav mi Moshe ka'atit dichtiv be al tikrav halom. Are you not from Moshe, who God said to him, don't come close, right, to the burning bush? Lav mi Moshe ka'atit, right? In other words, they say to him, mi haviyacha halom. They're saying, who brought you here? You're from Moshe Rabbeinu. What on earth are you doing here? Moshe was the one who went to the sneh, and Hashem said, al tikrav halom, and look at you, look what you're doing. Lav mi Moshe ka'atit dichtiv be maze biyadcha. Right? Remember, that's with Moshe about the Mateh, right? Maze biyadcha v'yomer Mateh, okay, in the beginning of Shmod in Perek Talit. And that's what, right, they say to him, ma ta oseh bezeh. So they say, right, that's the maze biyadcha. And then, la mi Moshe kahati dichtiv v'ata po amod imadi. Okay, that's in Dvarim already. Okay, where Hashem says, "Ata po amodi madiva dabrai lechet kol mitzvah b'chukim v'mishpatim asher tilamdim." Okay, the beginning of Moshe's speech in Parakei. So, in other words, before his speech to the people. So basically, right? Ata po amodi madi. He stood with God, and ma ata omed. Right? It says umalachapo. There it says ata po. He was with God, basically, and what are you doing here? Okay, so it's a good literary connection to say what on earth happened here, right? To show how everything is totally flipped, right? The whole Sefer Shoftim is to show how everything, you know, got totally flipped and messed up, and what was supposed to be order is lack of order, and they're showing exactly the flip from Moshe to here, what happened. So Amar Lahem, so here he says to them, okay, right, atapo amodi madi, right? Ta'aseh kohen lavodah zarah, the one who God said, right, stand with me, is now be a kohen lavodah zarah. So Amar Lahen, he says to them, kach mikublani mibet avi abba, this is what I learned from the father of my father, which is Moshe. Lo'olam yaskir adam atzmo lavodah zarah, va'al yitztarech labriot. You think Moshe really taught this, right? What did Moshe teach him? He said, you should always go work for avodah zarah better than litzterech labrio, better than taking staka. You're better off working for an avodah zarah, right? Go work for avodah zarah. That's what I did. I needed a job. I needed money. It was better than begging on the street. Okay? Okay. Now, how could Moshe possibly said something like this? Behu savar lavodah zarah mamash, velohi. He thought that when Moshe said it, he meant really avodah zarah, and it was okay to work for avodah zarah if, right, you better that than be in poverty. Ela, or litzarech labriot, meaning have other people support you. By the way, it's a very powerful statement, right? And it's, obviously he was wrong about it, but it's trying to show the importance of not taking money from tzedakah. Velohi, ela, avodah zarah, what did he mean when he said avodah zarah, Moshe? Avodah shezaralo, okay? Work that is strange to him. In other words, don't say, oh, I'm not going to do that job. That's beneath me, okay? Or that's, right, that's not kavod for me. I'm better off just taking tzedakah, okay? What Moshe was saying is, you should take any job that is offered to you better than take tzedakah. Kedamalei Rav l'Rav Kahana. Rav said to Rav Kahana, nitosh nebelata b'shuka, skin the nevela, the dead animal, the carcass, in the shuk, ushkol agra, and get paid for that, velo tema gavra rabba ana vizila be milta. Okay? And it's, don't say, I'm a great rabbi, and it's beneath my kavod to do such a thing, to be taking off the skin in the middle of the shuk, and everyone will see me, and it'll be an embarrassment. And I'm not so, I don't even think he was concerned for himself. He was concerned for the embarrassment of Torah. Like, this is what a Torah scholar is doing, right? That sometimes it's more connected when you're a Talmid Chacham. You have to worry about Kvod HaTorah also. And what did he say? Rav said to him, better off to do that than to take tzedakah.
We must skip this section.
I'm just thinking that.
Yes.
Does not seem
yes.
to.
Well, we've seen sources that supported them also, and here are the sources that clearly go against it. There's many sources, by the way, in the Gemara that go against the whole idea of taking tzedakah just to learn Torah, or, you know, there's lots of them. Okay. But like we said with everything, there's multiple opinions on every given topic, particularly when you get into issues like this, which are not exactly halachic, right? It's interesting to think that, right, we don't really think Moshe Rabbeinu said this, right? This is a drasha going on about the rabbis talking about their times and the things that were going on then, and their messer to the people they were giving across through these drashot in the story. Okay. Now, here we get to the end of the... Okay, now the story with Pesel Micha ends that his family basically become the Kohanim there forever. Okay, however, for some reason, the rabbis decide that he actually did tshuva, and we're going to see why soon. Okay? So, what happened? He basically did this because he needed the money. So what happened? David HaMelech came along, okay, a number of generations later. We're going to see this guy obviously lived from the time of Moshe, because he heard from Moshe what Moshe said, and he was his grandchild, until the time of David HaMelech. Okay? Kevan shara David shemamon chaviv alav biyoter minahu ala otzahot. He said, I want to give this guy, he saw he was trying so hard to get a job and was a little misinformed. So what did he do? He took him out of there and he offered him a better job, figuring, I'll get him out of this bad thing going on, and I'll give him a better job. How do we know that this is what David did to him? Shneamar ushvuel ben gershom ben minashen nagid ala otzarot. Okay, and this is always an issue. In Divrei Yamim, we see a different version here. He wasn't Yonatan, he was Shvuel, okay, the son of Gershom, the son of Menasheh. Okay, why we don't think this is another son of his, it's not clear, but it's part of the, we always say, the law of diminishing characters, okay, that let's try to connect. If we see Ben Gershom somewhere else, obviously we're going to have to just explain why his name is Shvuel and not Yonatan here. And so he was the Nagid al Otzarot Bizman David. So there we have our proof that he lived Bizman David. V'chi Shvuel Shmo, v'halo Yonatan Shmo, right? Why is his name Shvuel? Isn't Yonatan his name? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Sheshav La'el V'chol Libo. Okay, we see that he actually did tshuva. Okay, now there's a bit of an issue because it says that his sons and his, were the Kohanim until the Galut. So the Mefreshim have to deal with that a little bit. But according to this, based on Divrei Yamim, they say he did tshuva and he turned back to God. Okay, back to, off the Agadato, back to our topic. V'habanim et'av. Okay, so remember the children inherit from the father. Minalan, right? So now we want to know, the question really is here, which is, how do we know that if there's a son, the daughters don't inherit? And how do we know, right? That's going to be our question, okay? How do we know that when there's a son, the daughters don't get Yerusha? We're going to suggest that maybe the daughters get Yerusha equal to the sons, okay? Remember the psukim, okay? You have them. Psukim from the sheets are in here, but you have them in your, right in the Shachnasim, they have it. Okay, so remember the psukim are, Ish ki amut uben ein lo v'havartem et nachalato lebito. Now that sounds pretty clear, right? That if there's no father, there's no sons, it goes to the daughter. But they're going to suggest that maybe it means something else. Okay, so minalan dechtiv ish ki amut v'chule. So the first explanation is like the pshat. Tama de ein lo ben, right? The reason why it goes to the daughter is because he doesn't have a son. Hayesh lo ben ben kodem. But if there was a son, the son would come first. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye. So now Rav Papa's going to question. We're going to have two questions of Rav Papa on this drasha. He says to Abaye, wait a minute. Eima, you could say, I'ika ben lirot ben. Maybe it means if there's a son and only a son, then the son inherits. Ika bat, if there's a daughter and only a daughter, tirut bat, then the daughter would inherit. Ve'ika ben ubat, lo hailirot velo hailirot. But maybe if there's both a son and a daughter, nobody should inherit. Okay, that makes absolutely no sense, which the Gemara is going to say. Elaman, how are you supposed to read this? Elaman li wrote, who's going to inherit? Right? Atu barkasha demata li wrote. What, the head of the city, or maybe the tax collector? Okay, the Aruch brings two different interpretations. The Aruch is the earliest dictionary. It's from the I believe, the 11th century. And he says, right, so Barkash is either the tax collector, right, because who would get, if no one's going to get the property, who would get it? It would go to taxes, right, or to the head of the city. He would also take it over. Okay, those are two bucks. So he's saying, what are you talking about? The head of the city is going to go collect it? Who else would it go to? Like, why wouldn't it go to the children? So he says, no, hachi kamina, this is what I meant to say. I kabenu bat, lo haili rot kule. Lo haili rot kule, ela ki adade lirtu. Now, what I meant to say is, if there's both sons and daughters, then neither inherits the entire thing, but each of them share the inheritance. Okay, so now the assumption is, what does it mean, adam ki amu bein lo ben, according to this? Right, the pshat seemed to be, if he doesn't have a son. So they say, meaning, if there's no son, meaning only a daughter, then she comes before all the other relatives. But if there's a son and a daughter, then they would split it. It's obviously not exactly the pshat, but he's sort of, like we did yesterday, they're throwing everything up in the air. You could think about why are they trying to flip everything on its side in this sugya, right? Why are they trying? And it could be because we all know that often siblings and relatives get into arguments about this, and they want to show that all the possibilities are rejected except for this one. They want to show there's one way, and if you want to try to suggest a million different ways, forget about it. There's no way to go any other way. This is it, to make it very clear cut so we don't have issues. Okay.
It's one of those times when they're trying to match what's in the text to what they already do, or to what the current practice is, or to...
Okay, so that's also possible, except that, let's say, this kind of example is pretty clear-cut, so why they would be throwing it up in the air is kind of strange, especially because the whole story of Benot Tzlafad was that there were no sons, and the daughters wanted to get inherited. It's so clear that the daughters don't inherit otherwise, you have to wonder why they're even throwing this up in the air. Maybe yesterday's, where it was a little unclear where the father comes in, they had to really, you know, set it, and maybe because they wanted to show the current practice is possible. Yeah.
Can a person change the order if he wants to deliver?
So I was going to maybe suggest it, and I said maybe we'll wait, but yeah, for sure, there's a whole... This is all, I should have prefaced this when we started learning Dinei Yerusha, which is that this is what the Torah states, but anyone who wants to write otherwise is allowed to, okay? This is all in a state where there's no will, okay? And then this is what we go by. But when a person writes a will, they're allowed to go different than halakha and divvy up their property as much as they want. So it doesn't say it anywhere, but it's a good question. I'm pretty sure it comes up in the Perek. I didn't read through the whole thing, but I'm pretty sure it'll come up here and we'll get to it.
It doesn't work with the whole notion of Nechalah. Like, if you want really the order to stay the same, you share it to inherit.
Right, then you have to do the Nechalah. Right, you'd have to keep it within the same. Yeah. Right. Okay, we'll have to get to it.
Why can't you write away other parts of Halakha if you want? I mean, this is a...
Right, why is this one that you're allowed to do your right?
I listened yesterday, actually, I listened to another whole shiur about this, which was so interesting to me, and he said that the whole law of women was changed, like, 500 years ago. I'm sure you know about this. But he said that there's some people who give $50 that the man has to give first to sort of keep the Halakha of the Torah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like just
right.
To
have them, right? Like the pishnayim. Also, nobody really does pishnayim nowadays, right? The bechor gets double.
It certainly wouldn't make for happy families.
No, it certainly wouldn't.
But it makes sense when they were dividing up land.
It was different then, also, when the assumptions were that. But now, when now nobody has the assumption that the oldest is going to
There's only no shvatim, no chalukah of that anymore.
So
yeah,
land get too small, so maybe
right. Okay, so Amar Le Abaye, so Abaye says, what kind of a crazy thing is this? According to what you're saying, Rav Papa, the pasuk means if there's a son, then the son gets everything, if there's only one son. And if there's only one daughter, she gets everything, right? So he says, V'itzrich kralash muinan hecha delei le'alacha bra lirtinu l'kule nichsei? What, you need a pasuk to tell you that if there's only one son, he gets everything? That's quite obvious that that's going to happen. So therefore, that can't possibly be what the pasuk's saying. Okay, v'dilma ha kamashmalan. So now he asks the second question, Abaye, Rav Papa. He says, maybe this is what it's trying to tell us. If you don't accept my first one, I'll give you another possibility. Kamashalan debat nami bat Yerushahi. Okay, maybe they just want to tell us that a daughter has the potential to inherit. Okay, but it's not telling us that, and then it would be telling us that a daughter has the potential to inherit and can inherit just like the son, equal to him. So they say, you don't need a pasuk just to tell you that daughters can inherit, because there's another pasuk. Hahum mibechol bat yoreshet nachala nafka. There's a pasuk about, I actually didn't look at the context here, and Bamidbar Lamed Vav Chet. You can look it up. It says, "Rabechol bat yoreshet nachala mimatop bnei Yisrael lechami mishpacha matea viat yelisha." Right? If she's yoreshet nachala, she has to marry someone. It's based on the bnei tzalcha, right? But it's a number of prekim later. She has to marry someone within the shevet. So there you see that Rabach be yoreshet nachala. So okay. So now we basically asked two questions on this limud, but we have a limud, okay? We have a drasha. The questions were knocked off, and we have our limud, that where do you get that the daughter comes after the son, right? And that the daughter doesn't inherit with the son? Because of the pasuk, right? Ish ki amud, ve'en lo ben, right? Uben en lo, then it goes to the daughter. So now we're going to have two other suggestions of where we could learn it from, and each one's going to be rejected. We're going to eventually go back to the first one, okay? Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar mehacha. Lama yigara shem avinu mitoch mishpachto ki ein lo ben. So what do you learn from here, right? From b'not tzlacha, that's even a better proof, right? Why, if our father, right, he's not going to have any name, if it does, because he doesn't have a son, meaning, obviously, it wasn't going to go to the daughters. Tama de'en lo ben, right? The whole reason was because he has no sons. Hayesh lo ben, ben kodem. But obviously, then, if he had a son, the son would have gone first. But now they say, no. Why is this not a good suggestion? This is a very good answer. V'dilma, a very interesting answer. V'dilma b'not tzlachad hu dekamaran hachi. But nitna Torah v'nitchadsha halacha. It could very well be that that's the way it was before they asked their question. But once they asked their question, the law was changed. And once the law is changed, right, this is a fascinating concept, once it was changed, then what was relevant before might no longer be relevant. Maybe, right, we all assume that what it means is they get if there's no sons. But maybe once they were changing the law and allowing girls to be part of inheritance, maybe they meant they share exactly with the boys, okay? And therefore, maybe, you know, you can't prove from there necessarily, because the whole halacha came after that. Maybe the halacha means otherwise. Now, obviously, this isn't what it means, but therefore, this isn't a good answer. Therefore, it looks like we said what we said earlier is a better answer. Third option is a little disturbing one. Ravina amar mehacha, hakarov elav, hakarov karov kodem. Meaning, right? What did we say? L'sheira karov elav. What does it teach you? Who always comes first? The one who's the closest. Who's the closest to the father? The son over the daughter. Okay? It might disturb you now, but not to worry, because Gemara is going to actually reject that and say, what are you talking about? Why would you say, right, that the son is closer than the daughter to the father? They're both equal. Okay? But the fact that they even suggested this is a little bit bothersome. But, you know, we have all over, by the way, that people wanted banim scharim, and it actually makes sense that they would have suggested this. The question is, what does kirva mean? Does kirva mean relationship, or does kirva mean it's relationship in tumubani, relationship to the person, how they're related to them, or they're a yachas b'nehem, right? How they interact, and the fact that he's closer to his son, maybe.
Probably not so insulting in the context of the time.
I'm sure it wasn't so insulting in the context of the time at all. Right, I'm sure not. Okay, so now they say, umay korva de ben mibat. Right? Why do you think that the ben is more close to the bat? I bet it's because of this. There's two ways. What did we see? The son takes the place of the father, both in the amayivriya, we saw that he can marry her and not have to pay her the kesef kiddushin, and the steachuza, that if he's podeh, if he buys back the steachuza, then it doesn't go to the kohanim in the shnat yovel, just like the father. So they say, if that's your reason, first of all, you can't say that that favors, what did we say last time? That favors the son over the brothers. You can't say that those favor the son over the daughter. Why? Because, right, there's no daughter in the Yehud case. She can't marry the Amayivriya. Okay, so that's the first one. She ben kam tachad aviv li'adah, Bat lav yada, bat yadai, right? When it comes to the Ye'ud, so she can't possibly marry the woman. So therefore, she's not even in the perek, right? In the parsha, you can't even say, oh, well, there you see the boy is better than the daughter, is closer. Stechuzan nami mehai percha gufahu. Where did we learn the stechuzah from, remember? Taha kaimale letana klum yeshibum elam kom sheim ben. And there, what do we see? Whether there's a ben or a bat, they're equivalent, right? Yibum doesn't happen if you have a son or a daughter. So there you see that the daughter has the exact same kirva, as in terms of the yehud, you can't compare them because she's not even, it's not even relevant to her. In terms of the steachuzah, if you're learning ben, the bat should be the same thing, and it should be relevant. So therefore, this isn't a good answer either. Ela mechuvarta kedishanina meikara. Okay, therefore they say it's like we saw earlier. Now we're going to have a fourth option. Maybe we should learn it from here. Okay? This is Bayikra Kakeh. The continuation of the Pasuk is La Reshet Achuzah. This is, do you remember we learned this whole Pasuk? This is passing on your Avadim Knanim to your children. So it's also Yerusha. And what do you see? Libinechem, Binechem Velo Benotechem. Ah, there you have it. Sons, not daughters, and it's talking about Yerusha, right? Yerusha of Avadim, but still Yerusha. So therefore, so they say, wait a minute. But if you want to say every time it says in the Torah Benechem, it means Benechem and not Benotechem, right? What about this? If you keep the mitzvah, they, most of the Mefreshim say it's connected to the mitzvah mezuzah. You keep the mitzvah mezuzah, which appears right before. Then it says, it means just your sons are going to live long lives and not your daughters. So they say, bracha shane. It's different when we're talking about a bracha and a halacha. A halacha can be relevant only to boys, right? In terms of nachala. But when it comes to a bracha, we're not going to say, oh, the lives of your sons will be plentiful, but not the sons, the lives of your daughters. That doesn't make any sense. Okay.
So
I mean, we could talk grammar. Obviously, that's not what they're doing. This comes up all the time. Kol Ezrach, does that mean to include women or to exclude women? Every time we say it, they can obviously be explained. And that goes back to what we said earlier, which is always they're trying to connect things to psukim that they know are true. Okay. V'achim min ha'av nochalin u'manchilin minalan. Okay, brothers from the father, right? Brothers pass Yerusha to each other. Where do we get this from? Amar Rabba and brothers from the father only, right? How do we know this? At ya achva achva mi b'nei Yaakov. Mal halam min ha'av lo min ha'em, avka min ha'av lo min ha'em. Okay, so now they say, we learn it from Yaakov. Remember what b'nei Yaakov said? Shnei masar v'adecha achim anachnu b'nei ish echad. Right? They say, we're all brothers. This is when they go to Yosef and Mitzrayim. They don't know it's Yosef. And they say, we're all 12 brothers. Okay, and what means they're brothers? They have different mothers, but they all have the same father. Okay, so there we learn it from him. So then they say, "V'lamali mi'mishpachto v'yarasho taktiv mishpachat av kruya mishpacha mishpachat em ena kruya mishpacha." Why don't we learn it from the mishpachto? Right, it says in the pasuk, "V'imein achim and atem anachlato l'sheiro karov ilav mi'mishpachto v'yarasho ta." Only someone from the family, and the family is always mishpachat av and not mishpachat em. That was how we got to the whole Levi story, right, with the ish and pasal micha. So now, what do they say? In achinami, you're right. You really should learn it from the second one. B'chi itmar de Rabba le'inyan yibum itmar. When Rabba said this gzerah shavav achim achim, he wasn't actually comparing. It was a mistake. Okay, we misunderstood when they brought Rabba and saying this is the gzerah shavav he made. They knew that Rabba made a gzerah shavav between achim and achim, but they got confused. They thought it was the achim in the Yerusha pasuk, but it wasn't. It was the achim in the yibum pasuk. And if you recall, when we learned Yibum, we learned this, that why is Yibum always from the father? It comes from the brothers of Yosef. Okay, because they were all from the same father, and it says Achim, and it says Achim by Yibum. So therefore, we're going to compare and say that Yibum Achim are like the other Achim. Okay, we'll stop here for today.